We begin Perek Shisha, the sixth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Zichei Matan, the laws of acquisitions and of gifts in the Sefer Kinyan, in the book of acquisitions, where in this Perek, we continue the theme of the previous Perek regarding limitations on the gifts, where we qualify what was the intention, we could assess that, of the giver and of the recipient. As Rambam gives halacha regarding first evaluating the intention of the giver. We always evaluate, always assess what was the intention, the consciousness of the one who's giving the gift. And that is, if the elements indicate what was his ultimate purpose, then we do based on that evaluation, even though he didn't specify it. Okay, so what's a good example? Someone had his son went overseas. And he heard that his son died. So he went and he wrote off all his assets to someone else, a revealed and finalized type of a gift. And then his son comes back. His gift is not valid. Because the things they prove, had he known that his son was alive, he would not have written away all his whole estate. Therefore, however, let's say he didn't write off everything to the other person. He left over something, whether it's real estate or whether movable item, then his gift is valid because that's not indicating its own, because he's giving it all away. That seems like, okay, I have nothing left in life. His son died, and therefore, but if you're left over, what are you leaving over for? Obviously, you're not like just giving it all away, and therefore, then we would say that it would be a valid gift. Halacha Beis continues regarding similar, these are all halachas of umdin das, of someone who writes off all his estate as a gift to one of his sons. Someone writes his whole estate as a gift to one of his sons. Whether he was writing this when he was a healthy person or a sick person on his deathbed. Even if it's a little baby son that's in the crib, again, this is umdin das. We were assuming that he didn't really give it and gift it to him. He is only making him a caretaker. He's to be in charge. But the truth is, in regards to getting a share of the properties, he's just like one of the other brothers. Because we are evaluating his consciousness, he only wanted, his intention was that the brother should listen to him and that he should dictate things, but he's not going to get more than anyone else. Now, but from sheer kosher and kagamental, again, as we said in Halach Alf, but if he does leave over a little bit from the properties or from the movable items that he didn't give to that one son, then Zocha ben Mamaton, that obviously it is a real gift. It's not just to be in charge, because what are you leaving over for? Then that son would acquire that whole gift. When we say this, it's as if you wrote it to one son amongst all the other sons. But let's say he wrote his property to the son amongst all the daughters. Or to a daughter amongst the daughters. Or one inheritor from all the other inheritors. Even though he didn't leave over anything, they would not assume that he's making that person enter a caretaker, and therefore the gift actually will be valid, even though nothing was left over. Halacha Dalek continues regarding, similarly, if someone writes his whole estate to his wife, whether as a healthy person or as a person on his deathbed, even if they made an acquisition on this from him, that he's giving everything to his wife, he only made her into a caretaker regarding the inheritance. Whether the inheritors of his sons are from her, or from some other woman, so she's like the stepmother, or his brother, or some other inheritors, doesn't make a difference. He's just putting her in charge as a caretaker, he's not giving it all to her. But from shared culture, but if he left over a little bit that he didn't give it to her, then being karkabemetal, whether that what was left over was property or movable item, concert, culture, custom, then she does acquire everything that was written to her. Halacha hei b'midrum, when we say this, b'nesua, when he was married to her. But if he wrote over his whole estate to the woman that he was only engaged to or the woman that he was divorced from, then even if he doesn't leave over anything, then she's just like a regular person, not like a wife that she's taking over the business. No, she's like any other person. And therefore, actually, the gift is going to be valid, and you don't assume that he's making her into a caretaker, and therefore, actually, she does get it. Halacha Vav continues, what happens if you write over to one of these people that we said is only as a caretaker, but and to someone else also. So, if he writes all his whole estate to one of his sons and to someone else, so this other person, we don't assume as a caretaker, so that other person acquires half of their estate as a gift. And then the other half remains for his sons. And the son that he gave it to, him again is back, he made him only as a caretaker for the rest of the brothers, and he doesn't get the other half. Halacha Zayin continues regarding if a woman acquires all whole estate from her husband, then additionally she's going to actually lose the rights to her ksuba. V'chein so too, first as the previous halacha, im kosev kon l'chosev ishtoi ula'acher, if he writes his whole estate to his wife and to some other person, again, zeh ha'acher kon ha'mechza, that other person acquires half, v'ishtoi ha'batrap ha'mechza, and his wife is only a caretaker of the other half. Now, halacha chas. But kalisha shekonze kon l'chosev ba'ala b'matan, that any woman that acquires the whole estate of her husband as a gift, of the ksuba, so she actually loses the rights of a lien of her ksuba, and she tears it up, because she's meichel from the fact of that she's getting such a huge gift. If a creditor of the late husband comes, and therefore, and all of the estate is going towards that debt that was owed before this gift was given to her, she remains without anything. And she can't even collect her ksuba, which actually was there the moment they got married, which was before that debt. Because again, this is back to the umdin nas. We're assuming his intention, in relating to her. Because the pleasure that she got when she heard this, that her husband wrote over his whole estate, of the she lost all the rights she has in this estate, except for this gift, like she was mukh the whole thing, and therefore that umdin das says that okay. So and now that you got that, but now a creditor is taking it away, you don't get anything, even your ksuba, which really was before even that halacha test. So if someone writes his whole estate to his sons, bin zchar ben kibbutz, whether boys or girls, bin bodim and shchimin, whether as a healthy person or a sick person, because of the ishtimam karka kosher, now he writes for his wife also, even a small piece of property, no matter what size it is. Halva asa isa should have been abanim. Since he made her a partner amongst the sons, v'loy machsa she didn't protest. Ab b'ksubasa she lose the rights to collect her ksuba. V'einin tedefes b'nechasim elikum. And she's not going to have to collect from these assets anything because of the fact that she was meichel. Ava bot b'nechasim she boi la'achre. But regarding properties that he gets afterwards, which is not related to this that he's giving to the sons and she's also getting a share in that. No tells b'ksubasa. She's not totally meichel like ksuba. She'll be able to get it from those other assets, just not from these assets. Halacha yud. Let's say he wrote for her, he left her out of the will. But the only movable items he's giving her. Or he's leaving over for himself a little bit of property that's not in the will going to the sons. Think Subasa Kiyemis. Her ksuba is going to still be valid. And the reason is because it's an institution of the Ga'inim that they said that a woman could collect a ksuba from the orphans, even from Metatlin. So therefore, there's no differentiation if he leaves over Karka or he leaves over Metatlin. Even if he leaves over a little bit of metalin, not only karka. Because why? Why then is she going to be able to collect the ksuba? Because she says, oh, mamasha shira ani goven, what he left over that he didn't give to the sons, I'm going to collect. And since she can go and collect her ksuba from what was left over, then she could even collect from the other estate, from the other assets, and collect with the lien that she has on his property. Someone writes all his estate to his sons. He writes for his wife a portion in there, in the will. Now, one of the sons died in his father's lifetime. So she could collect her ksuba, although when she's written as a partner, she loses the rights. She could collect the ksuba from this portion of the son that died. Why? She loved the ksuba, because like we said, she didn't really lose the ksuba. Only to collect from the nechasim, from which was given to the yerushim. But from other assets that were given to the father, like we said, at later point in time, we said in Halacha Tesh, she could collect from those. Now, these properties which the father inherited after he wrote over to his sons, from the son who died, is not less than other assets that he got at a later point in time, which she could collect from. Halacha Beis continues regarding, let's say, a woman is writing a gift only because she wants to keep it away from her new husband. So, originally, if a woman wants to get married, now she writes away a whole estate, whether it's to her son or whether it's to some other person. And then she gets married, and then she gets divorced or her husband dies. The gift that she gave to that person prior to marriage is void. Why? This is what's called that she's just chasing it away, because she didn't write her whole estate to someone else, only to chase away from a new husband that he shouldn't inherit her, which he would, and she doesn't want that. And therefore, when she needs the money, they have to give it back to her. Therefore, if she does die in her husband's lifetime, then actually the recipient is the one who acquires the gift, not the husband, because she was mavrachas v'men. They're the ones who remain because the gift was given. It's only for her when she comes back, and she doesn't come back. Now, if she left over something, even movable items, as we said, that always proves that it's not this umden das. It's like, why are you leaving over? Obviously, you're giving a real gift. The afibishon discussion, therefore, even if she gets divorced, in the chazer, she cannot go back to the monies that she gifted away to that other person. Halacha Gimel continues regarding a gift that is nullified, but you can't go ahead and back collect on the payers. So kol nisim kol nechseim. Whoever gives away their whole estate, like in the previous case, previous halacha, mishitibatul hamatana. So when the gift is voided, the yavzer kol nechasim labam hashem, and then the gift has to be given back to the original owners. The recipient of the gift does not give back the payers, because as long as she is married to her new husband, it is in the domain of the recipient. So they get to keep those payers. And because the reason is because even if a person gives matana in a gift, befedish explicitly, on the condition that it's given back all the days of that person, you could still eat the payers as long as the gift is there, even though you know at some point you have to give back kibbish, like we explained already in so for sure over here where the gift was given unspecified, as if it's always, it's just that we assume that the Oymedas is only up until that point in time, so for sure you would not have to give back the payers. Halachidad, regarding explaining what was the intention of the one who's giving the gift. So Mishashach came to Medin Zayam. If someone's sending vessels, garments from overseas, Ramani says, Yinasnu Eil Labani, these should be given to my children. This is given to the sons and to the daughters. Harar Laban, what's fit for the sons, like books and regarding weapons. Laban, those goes to the sons. Harar Laban is what's fit for the daughters, could go and claim meshiat boom, like the dyed linen clothing, and regarding the golden rings. So that the daughters take. Let's say this article is fit for both male and female. So the sons, the boys will take it because the father's intention is more for his son than for his daughters. And the mishalech kelim lebeis system. So if someone sends articles that are for his house, unspecific, and if it's fit for the boys, give it to the boys. If it's fit for the daughters, so the daughters take it. Because we're assuming that it's for them that he sent it. If he doesn't have daughters, or his daughters were married, then his sons' wives take him. Because the intention is assumed that it's for them that he's sending it. Halacha Tezav continues regarding the gifts of the parents to the bride and to the groom. Hamasi b'nai god l'b'sula b'bais. Someone marries off his eldest son to a b'sula, virgin, in a house. Kanabais, that new couple acquires a house. But who that is, she nisun rishon l'zab, and that's be the first marriage of this son. And the father did not marry off any son before him. And this father did not leave over in this house that he designated for him to get married and klum anything for himself. And these words actually are kahalacha shenlam tamim, or like a halacha that doesn't have a real good reason. But the sages did explain it somewhat because of the assumption of the intention. Because from the abundance of the joy and the love of the father, gomar v'hikno habayis, he concluded and he said, you know what, he's going to acquire it to his son, the house. Because like we see, he didn't leave over anything from himself. Now, therefore, imshir sham, if he did leave over there, afilu pach echad, even just one flask, then the son has not acquired the house. Let's say he designated the house and the vessels, the utensils in the house for the son. So even if he left open the house one vessel for himself, or he had a storehouse over there for himself, or similar things. So the son acquires only the furniture, the vessels of the house. But again, the house he does not acquire. Let's say he designated for him, for the chasna, the house which has an upper story. So the son acquires the house, but the upper story does not acquire, because the upper story is not really part of the house for this, and is considered independent, and therefore he does not get that. So to be designated for him a house that has a porch. So Bais Kani acquires the house, but Achsad Lekani does not acquire the porch, because it's not really considered the primary utility of the house. Let's say there's two apartments, one within the other. Lekani only acquires the one which he got married in. Halacha Yitzayin, Kvar Ba'arna Ben Yisuin, already explained by the laws of marriage, and Halachas Ishas in Perich of Gen, Halacha Yitbeis to Tezvav, that regarding two parties to have between them a match of a couple, the father of the groom was setting aside a certain amount of money, and the father of the girl was setting aside a certain amount of money. Ramadi said, "How much are you going to give for your son?" He says, "Kach v'kach, this and this amount." And "How much are you going to give for your daughter?" He says, "Kach v'kach, this and this amount." They get up, they make a kedushin, they make an engagement. It's something that will be acquired with just words, which is usually not the case. But the acquisition of these statements will not be happening until the time of the marriage, of nisun, not kedushin. Because Shekala Pesach, whoever sets a certain amount of money, is daita lichnas, the intention is, as we're saying with umdinas, for the getting married. Now, it has to be that the words that they're setting are mitzum b'rishusay. Whatever he's promising has to be, that money has to be available in his property. A person that cannot give up an acquisition of something that is not yet in the world, like we explained this in Perikha Bez Halachas Mechir Halacha Hei, and if he doesn't have it, it's like a Davash Leibel Eilim. With Vam Eilim, moreover, these words are Leinit Lekasav, they're not given to be written down. Therefore, since they don't have the strength of a document, in Kishtar, it's not like a document at Shita Ben that you go ahead and collect from the Kuches, from third parties, from. No, because the intention was never to create a lien on his estate from the Chasim Meshabadim, only from the Chasim Ben Echarim. However, the Kedushin monies, you never get back. Hamakadosh as Isha. If someone gets engaged to the woman, I feel like Kitchabel of dinner, even gives her a Kedushin, let's say a ring of 1,000 dinner, Ben Shachazahi, whether she backs out, Ben Shachazahu, whether he backs out, Ben Shemes, who, whether he dies, Ben Shemes, whether she dies. In the Kedushin Chazal Ha'im, that Kedushin money never gets back. It's a full-fledged gift that there's no, that doesn't go back to the Chasin. Now, if it was erroneous Kedushin, it was a mistaken acquisition, then the money does go back. Moreover, if someone gets engaged to his sister, which is one of the explicit arayas in the Torah that's forbidden and Kedushin would not take effect in her, that hamay is matana. That money is obviously he's giving as a gift to his sister. Because Adam Yadeh in Kedushin Tevz Barayas, a person knows that Kedushin, getting engaged, does not take effect by an illicit, by a forbidden relationship. Means a Torah, there it's not a mistaken to say, oh, the money goes back. Rather, he concludes that he's giving it as a gift. He's just trying to be nice about it. Oh, we want to get engaged to me, and he gives her, but obviously it's a gift. However, there are certain expenses of the Kedushin that do go back. Hashalech Sevloinus. Someone sends sabloinus from the word of a sevel, of like a masa, where something that's carried from one to the one person's hand to another person's hand, which is a certain type of gifts that if someone sends lebeis chamav to his father-in-law's household, whether it's a lot or a little, whether he did eat over there in the middle of the engagement or he did not eat over there, whether he died, whether she died, whether the man backs out, all the gifts have to go back to the chasen. Except for food and drink, which had already been eaten, it's not around anymore, that doesn't go back. So too regarding a small amount of articles that he sent to her, that she should use over there in her father's household. If she utilized them over there and they got worn out or they got lost, it's like food and drink, that she doesn't have to pay up. But if they're still around, they all have to go back. They can be collected in court. Because it's well known, he only sent it as a beautification. In other words, if this is going to happen, if it's not happening, you got to send it back. Now, this is all if he backs out. Now, but let's say she backs out. Then everything has to go back. Even the food and the drink, but it was already eaten. Now, you send this dumb of bazo. You have to repay it. The only thing is, you can give back in the cheaper version because since had they known they have to pay, they would never have eaten such expensive food items. So you give back the cheapest value of that. And Ukvar Hiskim Agoyim, the Goyim already agreed, Shemhoi Demei Machal Mashka Shava Shisha. Let's say if the food and drink was worth 6, Mishta Lemes Arba Im Chazaba, she could pay back 4 if she's backing out. Because Shalai Nasla Matan Azu, again, because he only gave her this gift, Il Dash Shalai Taxaba, only an intention that she's not going to back out. She backs out, she has to compensate. Allah Chabdal, Hoyd Rabbi said the Rambam, my teachers ruled. If the custom of that country was, she asked to call Adam Suda, that every person is going to make a party. And he's going to give to eat to his friends. So he's going to give out monies to the attendants and to the caretakers of the shul. And similar types of things. And he did like everyone generally does when they get engaged. But now she backs out. She has to pay for that whole party. Because she caused him to have a loss of money. Whoever causes a loss of money to his friend, Mishalim has to compensate. And that is as long as it witnesses to show how much he spent. Because she ain't is not a case of when you could swear and collect. And therefore, he can't swear and say, I spent as much. As long as he has witnesses, so then she would have to go ahead and compensate him for that amount because she caused a loss by backing out from the Shidduch.